Yummy food. Do you ever have that mouth-watering experience where even just smelling food makes you hungry because it smells so good and you just want to taste it? And what is it about food that gets us into that kind of state? Now, some people don't like food that much and it's never that exciting. They just eat food because they need to be sustained for life, and they eat food because they're hungry, or they eat food because they need to eat vitamins and minerals and phytochemicals and micronutrition and macronutrition. But there are some of us who just love to eat food and we get stimulated by the smell of food cooking, and then we get really excited about the taste of food. And sometimes, even if we're full, we keep eating because it tastes so good. So why is that? And there's an interesting suggestion that there's a combination of food that seems to excite most people, unless you don't like food that much. And it's the combination of fat with salt and fat with sugar. So if you put fat with sugar and you smell it cooking, you're going to have cookies and biscuits and things like donuts. Yum. If you put fat with salt, you're going to have things like chips and roast potatoes and a barbecue. And of course, there's some additional things in there. And most of what we eat is protein, carbohydrate, and fat. Most foods, it's interesting to have a look, because sometimes foods get labeled as a carbohydrate, or they get labeled as a fat. Well, they get labeled as a protein, but ultimately most foods have a combination of all three. But if we have a look at particularly poor old fat, and I say poor old fat because it gets a really bad rap, and then other times it gets a major wow rap. And it seems at the moment there's a fair bit of controversy about whether fat is good or bad. And there's a huge, big argument about what kind of fat we should eat. So here's a great question. Right now, are you believing that you should have butter or margarine? Should you have olive oil or sunflower oil? Is it important to have fat, or is it bad to have fat? And depending on who you ask, and literally whether it's an endocrinologist, a cardiologist, somebody who specializes in cardiovascular disease, a lot of those experts will have completely different opinions about fat. Some of them are saying that animal fat is really bad, and other experts are saying that animal fat is really good. If you're as old as me, you've been brought up with all different variations of good and bad fat at different times. It's been very fashionable and unfashionable at times to eat fat. And if you go back a very long time ago, before there were low fat anything, because there was an absolute fad in the 80s of creating foods that were low in fat. So before they came along, fat was just a normal part of life. And if you're as old as me, you will remember that we used to put large amounts of butter on our bread. There was no such thing as skim milk because it was full cream fat milk. I don't know if you were brought up as a vegetarian, but if you weren't, we cooked our meat in oil, in fat, and then the fat came out of the meat. And I can remember some very wow experiences as a child where my father would cook chops, for example, in the fry pan, and he'd put large amounts of oil in the fry pan. And my dad was an olive oil man because he was European. So he'd cook the chops in the large amount of oil, and then we would eat the chops with all the fat on, and we'd suck the oil out of the fat of the very fat of the chop, and then he would let that handful of oil go cold, and the next day we would then have that on our sandwiches. We would put lashings of animal meat or animal fat from the meat onto our sandwiches, which we'd then have with probably meat on top of it, cold meat from the day before. And that was pretty normal. We didn't cut the fat off our meat, and we certainly didn't eat low fat. Then came a very large surge in coronary heart disease, and fat was blamed for that. And we had a big change in attitude about fat. The world did. Don't eat animal fat, it's bad for you. And this stuff called margarine came in. And I remember very clearly, because I went to private boarding school, that the big kitchen at the private boarding school, the tubs of margarine would come in 1 kilo and 5 kilo tubs. And we would put the 1 kilo tubs out on the table for all of our students to have margarine on our sandwiches, and the big 5 kilo tubs of margarine would stay in the kitchen, and everything was cooked in margarine, not oil, because it was better for you, you see. We were told that because it's not animal fat, it's vegetable fat, it's made from vegetables, it's made from plants, it's so much better for you. And we would put lashings now of margarine. One of my favourite things was enough margarine that it literally looked like cheese on my bread, and I'd mix my Vegemite. In fact, I went to a school where Vegemite wasn't the right thing to eat. You had to have Marmite at my school. So I'd mix the margarine in with the Marmite and create this kind of brown spread, but it was really thick on my bread. And I'm sharing that with you because that was really normal. Margarine was considered really healthy. And then we went through a phase where there were healthy margarines and unhealthy margarines. So the fact that you put on your bread, the margarine, needed to be a certain kind of margarine so that it helped with coronary heart disease, because coronary heart disease has always been a really big killer. If you're alive now, 2020, it's become very fascinating because animal fats come back into fashion. A lot of people are putting large lashings of butter back on their bread. Butter has become the very trendy, vogue, expensive spread to put on your bread. Some people are putting butter in their coffee. They're putting butter all over their vegetables. And it has to be proper butter. It has to be pure. Sometimes it has to be organic, very yellow animal butter, because that's really good for you, depending on who you listen to. And then I forgot that little part of time when there was to be no butter on your bread and no margarine on your bread, and you just didn't have any of it because all fat was bad. So there's some of the fads that we've been through as human beings, and that's been on and off with fat. What has not been on and off is our very fast rate of fatness growth as humans. So when I was a child, it was very unusual for anybody to be overweight. Now it's become normal. So in a 40 plus year period, the human race has gone from being very what would be considered a healthy weight to being overweight has become normal. And in most countries now, more than half of the population is considered overweight. And we don't like to say it, but it's over fat. No one's saying your bones are too heavy or you've got too much fluid in your body or your muscles are too heavy or your heart's grown too big or your brain's too big and that's why you've become really heavy. The reason we've become overweight, we've become heavy, is because of fat. And interestingly, fat in itself is actually not that heavy. It's just really big. And for most people, it's pretty ugly. So what does fat have to do with how we feel? And for a lot of people, and most importantly, for the people that exercise, fat is often the thing that they are the most scared of, and the reason why they exercise, and the reason why they eat healthy food, because they don't want to be fat. So what's the connection? Why is it that some people eat butter and don't get fat? Some people eat butter and they do get fat. Why is it that some people eat margarine and they're very healthy? And some people suggest that they eat margarine and that's why they got unhealthy, so they've stopped eating it. Why is it that some people put butter in their coffee and other people would rather put petrol in their coffee because that's just not something that's of interest to them at all, and or they're really scared of fat itself. There's still a lot of people who are scared of animal fat and they look to reduce animal fat in their diet. There's now an interesting argument between being a carnivore and being we don't call it vegan vegetarian anymore. It's very, very trendy now to say plant-based diet. So people are eating a plant-based diet or they're a carnivore, or somewhere in between. And where does fat fit into that? Well, the interesting thing is it's a very personal thing. And if somebody comes along and tells you you can't eat fat, or you can't put butter on your bread, or you can't put margarine on your bread, or you shouldn't be putting olive oil into your, dipping your bread into olive oil, you might get cranky because that happens to be your favorite thing to do. I certainly love the experience of going to Italy with some beautiful fresh Italian bread and dipping it into olive oil and balsamic vinegar. That is a wow experience for me. And there are other people that would probably rather eat vomit than dip their bread into oil because they're really scared of getting fat and they don't want to put fat into their body. So if we go back to that question, and it's always the same question, regardless of carbohydrate, protein, fat, good foods, bad foods, what do you like to eat, what don't you like to eat? It's all about what do you expect from your eating plan. And one of the big things that people seem to be really excited about, and it might not be you, but is it possible that there are other people who are very excited about certain foods? Is it possible, if we look at fat in particular, is it possible that there are people who really love to put butter on their bread, who really love to have margarine on their bread, or really love, as I shared, to dip their bread into olive oil? And if somebody comes along and says, you can't do that, it's bad for you, is it possible that then they start thinking about that and want it even more? And is it possible then that we always have that bounce back effect where if you can't have something, you shouldn't have something, you mustn't have something, it's bad for you, then we think about it more. And even if we don't have it for a long period of time, there comes a time when we do have it and we have more of it than we normally would. Or even if we don't have it, it starts screwing up our headspace. When you start thinking about a food rather than enjoying your life, when you start focusing on a good food or a bad food, or can I have this, can't I have this, and you start having a little war in your head every time somebody puts food in front of you, is it possible that that's not a very nice way to live? So how do you work out if you should be eating fat and whether or not you should be eating vegetable fat or animal fat or any fat at all? I always use that as an example because I'm one of these people that I have no interest in putting anything on my bread. I don't have butter on my bread and I certainly don't have margarine on my bread. We don't buy it at our house, but I love going to Italy and dipping my bread into olive oil. Now, for me, that's a geographic experience. It's the same as eating Italian gelati or eating French croissants. I don't eat croissants anywhere else except France because for me it's a geographic experience. I'm only sharing that with you because we all have the right, you do, I do, everybody else does, we all have the right to eat what we really like to eat. And if you have anywhere between 2, 10, 200, 2,000 people in one place and you ask them what's your favorite food and what is the food that you would never eat or your least favorite food, it's really interesting because a lot of people's favorite food is other people's least favorite food and vice versa. So we all have the right to the foods that we like and the foods that we don't like. So when does it become important? When does it matter whether we have margarine or butter? When does it matter whether we have olive oil or dry bread? When does it matter, well, there's a great question, whether we have bread or not? Poor old bread, it gets a bad rap as well, but today we're talking about fat. When does it become okay to leave the fat on your meat and really enjoy the taste of the fat as it cooks through the meat? And when is it not okay because you've got coronary heart disease and a doctor tells you that that's going to kill you if you eat the fat that's in the meat? And we do have cardiologists now that are suggesting that we should be eating the fat in the meat. So what do you do? As an exercise professional, it's been really interesting to watch the different trends and the different fads. So I always ask this, the same questions every time. You'll always get exactly the same questions from me. The first question is, what should we be able to demand from our eating and exercise plan? And if we just look at our eating plan, should we be able to demand from our eating plan that we have a stack of energy? So if what you're eating on a day-to-day basis is giving you all the energy that you need to do all the things that you want to do, and I always call it the three E's. So you jump out of bed with energy, enthusiasm, and excitement for your day. You maintain your energy levels throughout the day. You sleep deep and you wake up the next day full of energy. And if you're not getting that from your eating and exercise plan, should we be able to demand it? Should it be a criteria of our eating and exercise plan that we have a stack of energy? So that's number one. Number two is that we perform at our best. So it's not just that I'm energetic, but I can actually think clearly if I have to use my brain. My muscles and my entire body systems are working together effectively if I have to use my body. So if I'm an athlete or if I do a sport or if I go to the gym or if I go for a run or a swim, I should be able to perform at my best level. So if I'm playing a musical instrument, if I'm singing on stage, if I'm acting in a movie, if I'm a CEO of a business, I should be able to say at the end of my day, I am performing at my very best physical and mental performance all the time. Should we be able to demand that from our eating and exercise plan? So number one is energy, number two is performance. Number three may not be important to you, but it is certainly important to a lot of people because the number one Googled statement in the world is, how do I lose weight? So obviously when you are overweight, the weight has become a challenge. So should we be able to demand from our eating and exercise plan that we look good? And I always like to add in that we feel good. So to touch your own body, do you like the way it feels? Does it feel tight? Does it feel strong? Does it feel hard? Whatever it is that you want to feel, are you getting that from your eating and exercise plan? So when you look in the mirror, do you like what you see? And when you touch your body, do you like what you feel? And should you be able to demand that from your eating and exercise plan? And then the last one is whatever it is that you're doing, the result that you want from it. So it's not this is the diet that I am on or this is the eating and exercise plan that I'm putting myself through. What's the outcome? What do you want to achieve? What is the result that you want? Is it that you want to run faster, jump higher, kick further, hit the thing harder? Or is it that you want to look a certain way? Or is it that you have an event that you want to be performing at your best for? Whatever result that you want to get from your eating and exercise plan, are you getting it? And if you're not getting it, why not? So I'll just quickly run through those again because I think we all should be able to answer them in our head. What do you reckon? Number one is you've got a stack of energy. Number two, you're performing at your best level all the time. Number three, you look and feel good physically to look at and the way you feel. And number four, you're getting the results that you want, the outcome that you want from your eating and exercise plan. Now, if the answer is yes, whatever you're eating, it's working for you, whether it's butter or margarine, whether it's olive oil or nothing, whether it's carbohydrate or low carbohydrate, whether it's carnivore or vegan vegetarian, whether it's eating three times a day or once a day, it doesn't matter. It's working for you. Congratulations. And why would we let somebody tell us what to eat and how we should eat and when we should eat and how much we should eat if we're getting everything that we need from our eating and exercise plan? Now, if we're not, and it is, I understand, very rare, people say to me, Rowie, don't be ridiculous. How many people have a stack of energy, perform at their top level, look and feel good and get the results that they want from their eating and exercise plan? Well, we should be able to demand that, I think. What do you reckon? Why would you put yourself through some kind of eating plan that you like or don't like, some kind of exercise plan that you like or don't like if you're not, getting those results? So, if you are not getting those results, what do you need to tweak? What do you need to do? And there's now comes a bazillion pieces of advice. And doesn't matter who you ask, if you ask absolutely anybody, whether it's the person who mows your lawn or the person who does your accounting or the person who paints a house or the person who is an exercise professional or an endocrinologist or a cardiologist or your GP, if you say to them, what should I eat to be healthy, fit and strong, have a stack of energy, perform at my top level, look and feel good and get the results that I want, everybody has an opinion. And in our defense, we all have the right to have an opinion, don't we? Because we all eat. And we've all had eating plans that have worked for us and haven't worked for us. And we've all had exercise plans that have worked for us and haven't worked for us. So if you ask somebody, what do you think I should eat or how do you think I should exercise? Get ready. You'll get a stack of information. But the great question is it going to work for you? And is there a whole heap of reasons why it might not work for you? And I'll go back to the simple analogy or the simple example of fat. If somebody tells you that you shouldn't eat animal fat because it's bad for you, but you absolutely love a great barbecue and you love to put butter on your bread, and you're one of those people who's currently putting butter in your coffee, that information is going to be of no interest to you. It doesn't matter who they are or what endocrinologist or cardiologist expertise they throw at you about cardiovascular disease or coronary heart disease. You like what you eat. If you do believe them and you go on that particular eating plan, even if you don't like it, how long will you stick to it for? And is it possible that you know your body better than anybody else? So regardless of the information that you get, it is possible, or have you found that it's possible, that there'll be lots of contradicting and lots of controversial information, that even if you believe a certain thing, there'll be a stack of people that believe something else. And how do you know what's going to work best for you? And could it be a really cool idea to work it out for yourself? So here's just some things to think about, perhaps consider, and if you wanted to apply them, see how they go. So there's those four questions. I want to demand from my eating and exercise plan that I've got a stack of energy, I perform at my best, I look and feel good, and I get the results that I want. Okay, so that's the outcome. So what do I need to look at first? Is it possible that if you ask the question, How come I don't have all those things happening? If I don't have a stack of energy, I'm not performing at my best. I don't like what I see in the mirror and I'm not getting the results that I want. If you ask yourself the question, how did I get into this position? I always ask people who have put on weight, how did you put on weight? Nobody's ever said to me, somebody snuck into my house at night while I was sleeping and forced food down my throat. I think we're all aware that every meal we've ever eaten, we were there. Everything we've ever put into our mouth to consume as food or drink, we were there. Some people say to me, yeah, Roe, but I was drunk. I didn't realize. But we're not drunk at every meal. So we do know or we are aware of what we have been putting into our mouth as food, as nutrition, as calories, as stuff to keep us alive. And if we don't have a stack of energy and we're not performing at our best and we don't like what we look like in the mirror and what we feel like to touch, and if we're not getting the results that we want, surely we need to tweak something. And it's interesting because often an expert will come in and tell you what to tweak, but they don't even ask you about your lifestyle. If you ask yourself, if I was my own high performance eating coach, what advice would I give myself? How did I get out of shape and how should I get back into shape? And is it possible that if you ask yourself that question, there might be something like, well, I probably need to eat a little bit less of that, and I need to eat a little bit more of that, and I need to move a little bit more than that. Is it possible that we got out of shape because we ate a certain way and we didn't move a certain way? And if we did exactly the opposite, that we might get the result that we want? And whether you know that's going to work for you or not, is that better than having somebody tell you what to do? And of course, the challenge with somebody telling you what to do is if it doesn't work, you've always got somebody to blame. But the big challenge I've got with that philosophy is what if whatever the person gives you to do either makes you sick or makes you fatter or injures you, hurts you, and you hate it? What a waste of time. Imagine being on a diet that doesn't work for 6, 8, 10 weeks or worse, 6, 8, 10 months. And at the end of the year, you go, I've been on this eating plan and I've absolutely hated it for 12 months and I haven't got any results, or I don't like the results that I got, or I just don't feel good. So yeah, I've lost weight or I weigh less on the scales, but I don't like what I see in the mirror and I don't have a stack of energy. I feel disgusting. Why did I waste 12 months of my life? And I'll go into, why would you waste one day of your life? Why would you waste one day of your life not putting butter on your bread if you really love butter? Why would you waste one day of your life if you're on holidays in Italy not dipping your Italian bread into olive oil and balsamic vinegar? Why would you waste such a wow experience because of some diet that you're on? Is it possible, and there's a lot of argument about this, but I'm just going to ask the question anyway. Is it possible that wherever you're at and you're not happy with your energy, your performance, the way you look and the results that you're getting, that if you ate a little bit less and moved a little bit more, it might make a difference? Is that possible? I'll go another step. If you ate a little bit less and you moved a little bit more powerfully. So often people talk to me about their exercise program and they're going for a walk for an hour. The challenge, of course, with an hour's walk is you burn very few calories. You burn very few calories of fat. It takes a really long time to lose weight and you just got exercise for that hour. The beautiful thing about sprinting and lifting heavy is you use those two things as a stimulus to turn your body into a fat burning machine. Now, the topic of this chat today is fat. If you like to eat fat, whether you think it's good or bad for you, is it possible that when you are fit, your body prefers to burn fat? Wow, that sounds bloody exciting to me. Especially if you love to put butter on your bread, and especially if you love to eat fat as a normal part of your diet. And of course, the calorie challenge with fat is it's got 9 calories a gram. Carbohydrate and protein have only got 4.5. So fat in itself is double the calories of most of the other foods that we eat. So just by how many calories in a kilogram of fat, we're going to get fatter much quicker if we eat fat, simply because it's higher in calories. And there's a lot of argument about this too, but just consider this. If you consistently keep eating more calories than what your body needs, what will happen? Whether it's fat, carbohydrate, protein, or alcohol, if you consistently keep putting too many calories into your body than what your body needs, what will happen? Is it possible that you will get fat? Now, fat's already fat. It doesn't have to be converted to fat. Carbohydrate, protein need to be converted, but your body will do it. It's a long, slow, complicated process, and it takes energy, takes calories to do it, but your body will do it. And if you put in too much alcohol, your body doesn't burn anything else while the alcohol's in there, because there's nowhere to store alcohol. So regardless of what we put into our body, whether it is fat or not, your body will, if it gets too much of anything, convert it to fat. Now, the process of that, though, it really slows us down. If we eat too much, first of all, how do you feel when you eat too much? Your body's got to really go into some major overloading processes to deal with too much food. If you're putting too many calories in your body needs, it's really got to change its chemical balance to try and sort that out. If what you put in equals what you burn up, things work a little bit more effectively. And obviously, if you want to lose weight, it seems that if you put in less than you burn up, then you will lose, you'll lose weight. Now, I hesitated on that one because there are lots of diets where you lose weight, but it's not fat that you're losing, it's muscle and bone that you're losing because you are not putting enough calories into your body. So it's all a very complicated process, or is it? Could it be as simple as if I am not full of energy, if I'm not performing at my top level, if I don't love what I look like in the mirror and what I feel like to touch, and if I'm not getting the results that I want, what do I need to tweak? And is it possible that yes, my body needs carbohydrate, protein, and fat? Is it possible that my body needs micronutrition, vitamins, minerals, phytochemicals, fiber, antioxidants? And there's of course argument about all of that as well. But it's all people arguing about food. It's people arguing about philosophies and scientific research about food, but that's got nothing to do with your body. If you don't feel fantastic, if you don't look fantastic, and you don't have a stack of energy, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to listen to somebody tell you that you can't have, mustn't have, shouldn't have, don't have? Or are you going to work out for yourself, okay, if I eat this, I feel pretty crappy, so I'm going to not eat that anymore, or I'm going to eat less of it. If I eat too much of that, I feel lazy, tired, lethargic, so I'm going to eat less of that. If I eat more of that, I feel energetic, I feel better, I feel good. And there's so much argument about that. Some people have a big bowl of pasta, veggies, and meat, and they say they feel fantastic. And other people say, when I eat a big bowl of pasta, veggies, and meat, I feel really tired, lethargic, and I don't want to do anything. So it's different for everybody. Do we need to work it out for ourselves? As an exercise professional, it's really interesting because we often tell people what to do. I learned a very long time ago that, number one, most people don't like being told what to do. And even if they say to you, please, can you tell me what to eat and how to exercise? Often that isn't, please tell me what to eat and how to exercise. It's just, I want a result and I need you to give me the result. And if you don't give me the result, then I can blame you for not giving me the result. And I don't want to be that kind of exercise professional. How about you? I want to be the exercise professional that actually helps people to be in peak physical condition, not to lose weight. You can chop your leg off and you'll lose weight, but your life will be reasonably challenged. You will not have good quality of life. And to me, that's what most diets are and what most exercise programs are. They're so complicated and so boring and so hard and so unfun and so unyummy that why would you do it? It's not a way to live your life. So how do we work out for people what to eat and how to exercise that so they can thoroughly enjoy their life, they have a stack of energy? And could that be a personal thing? If somebody likes to eat butter, they're a different person perhaps than the person who likes to eat margarine than the person who doesn't like to eat any fat at all. And should we find out all of those things before we start telling people what to do? Just because butter's in fashion doesn't mean that the person sitting in front of you wants to eat it. Is that possible? Just because olive oil is considered to be such a great thing, is it possible that the person sitting in front of you doesn't want to have olive oil? And the other really interesting thing, and if we're talking about fat, we have to cover this because it's so interesting. A lot of the research on olive oil is now showing that it's not the oil, it's the olive, it's the complete olive. So is olive oil better than sunflower oil, and is sunflower oil better than coconut oil? And there's some really, how much oil do we need? I'll go back to the four questions. How much energy do you have? Are you performing at your best? Do you love what you see in the mirror? Are you getting the results that you want? And if not, is it possible that we need to work out what to tweak? Is it possible that somebody could tell us not to eat butter and butter's got nothing to do with it? Could it be that somebody tells us not to eat bread, but we love bread and now our life is no fun anymore? Could it be that somebody tells us not to drink alcohol, but that's our most favourite part of the day, having a couple of glasses of wine at the end of the day, and now our whole life is not the way we want it to be because somebody told us what to do? So whatever you think about fat, there's a big question. What do you think about fat? How about we work it out for ourselves and work out what works best for us? I will share again that I was brought up as a little kid with large amounts of butter, full cream milk, eating the fat in the steak and in the chops and literally loving it. And there were very few fat people. Then came the non-fat or low-fat era, and a lot of people got fat even though they weren't eating very much fat, but they just ate too much food. And now we're back to, well, we should have butter because it's really good for us. But we've still got coronary heart disease through the roof. We've still got type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease. And they're the really scary diseases because our arteries are clogged up and our arteries don't. The blood flow and nutrition has to get to where it's got to go. And if our arteries are clogged up with cholesterol, and there's an argument about where cholesterol comes from, but without getting into that argument, we can't have it clogging up our arteries. So let's have clean arteries that flow smoothly to get all our vitamins and minerals and phytochemicals to the places that they've got to go, so that we've got a stack of energy, we perform at our best level, we look and feel fantastic, and we're getting the results that we want. And if we're not getting what we need, then how about we tweak what we need for ourselves, not have somebody else tell us what to do? Wouldn't that be exciting? Yummy food and enjoy your exercise. Now, there's a concept.